Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Daily, weekdays noon to 1 on Athens' Voice of the Dogs, 960 The Ref.
All right, it's the second half kickoff here for the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Good Wednesday morning to you. This is the rest of the week is downhill. We are at the... We are at the top apex of the roller coaster, the big first hill, so it's downhill the rest of the way.
We have summited this week's radio shows. Yeah. We are at the tip-top, plant that flag, and what better way than B.A., Brandon Adams of the Dog host, Nation Daily.
Yeah, Dog Nation Daily, which I'd like to send out a massive apology to Brandon, because a couple of weeks ago when we moved into the temporary studio, he was our first phone caller, and that didn't go very well. And then last week when we moved back into this studio, guess what? He was our first phone caller, and that didn't go very well. So, Brandon, so sorry on both accounts. Our apologies. Thanks for your patience, and good to finally be talking to you again here this morning. Yeah. Whew. Do we have now? Logan brought this up during the break, and I'm not against this idea, but he said since we didn't get to talk to you last Wednesday, we should only talk about the Tennessee game.
Yeah, or I thought for a second you might go down the road of, and heaven forbid this, but since we didn't get a chance to chat last Wednesday, if we somehow put some bad vibes into the cosmos, and maybe that's what led to the Georgia defeat on Saturday. Hopefully that's not the case, because I don't want to wear those goat horns, but no. But we have to at least consider the possibility that might be true.
No, well, I can debunk that, B.A., because Dave has already owned up. When he and Coach Donnan did their Bulldog Friday night last week, they ordered something different than what they normally order. Now, we've also thrown the theory out there that Ryan Seacrest was at the game, so you pick which one you want to blame, and we'll go with that.
Well, my favorite thing to do would be to blame Seacrest.
Exactly.
I don't want to blame David, and I can blame Ryan Seacrest. So between those two titans of media, I'll choose Seacrest over Johnson.
I hear you. Well, we can avoid the conversation all we want, but we have to get to it at some point. Just not a banner day for the Bulldogs, but I will remind a lot of people out there, and I'm sure you've talked about it too, I can come up with a very short list. I've got Dabo Swinney last year. I got Scott Frost the year before. Then all the way back to 2010, Nick Saban. Those are the only three coaches that have coached their team to undefeated seasons in recent memory. We're certainly not entitled to that, but B.A., how do we get back on the right track?
Well, I think that's a really good question. I think that's a really good point that, you know, a loss in college football does not kill you. Even a loss to an unranked team, kind of a bad team at home, as shocking as it is, that doesn't necessarily kill you. But what I said on our postgame show on Saturday, and I think that, you know, hopefully UGA fans, you know, kind of get this, is that I'm not quite so sure the conversation amongst fans this week is all that different had Georgia found out a way to squeak out this game by a point than it is the fact they lost it by whatever the final margin was, I guess 3 points. I think the issue that you're facing here is the way that Georgia played, more so than the result of the game, but that's also the kind of thing that you can shake off as you kind of move through the rest of the season. Georgia can play better from here. It's got another game of what we thought South Carolina was, an opportunity to tune up against Kentucky this week, a bye week in the stretch that really matters. We saw Georgia play much better in November last year after it gotten beat by LSU during the season. So we even have a track record of Georgia of seeing improvement after a loss. You know, now Georgia's putting itself in a situation where it has to go out and do that. But, you know, certainly if you want to have the most optimistic assessment of what happens coming off the loss, Georgia's more than capable of improving and playing better. We've seen them do that before. We've seen other college teams do that before. And really, by the time you get to the SEC championship game, if Georgia does qualify for it, whatever happened against the Gamecocks could be a distant memory by then.
Would you say, though, to an extent, better to be exposed when it happened for some of the things that could certainly be worked on and improved now than in the middle of November?
Well, let me just be very blunt, though, and say, okay, it's great to get exposed if that exposure, you know, leads you to making some improvements and making some changes. But, you know, I think that fans that feel a little bit, I guess, concerned that Georgia maybe either won't change some of the things that could change coming out the South Carolina game, or maybe incapable of changing some of those things right now. I mean, who am I to say that's not a valid concern? You know, if you look at some of the overhead shots from what happened on Saturday when Georgia was trying to get into the pass game, you're hard-pressed to find a receiver who's open. I mean, Dan Orlovsky, who broadcasts the game for ESPN, goes on television this week and says that he doesn't think the Georgia receivers can beat man coverage right now. Now, I think those Georgia receivers will be eager to prove him wrong on that, but what if Orlovsky ends up being right? That's obviously going to at least be a little bit of a concern. And then when you get into some of the play-calling stuff, which I know is such a hot-button issue right now, either for fans who believe that it absolutely needs to change or that people are, you know, being, you know, too negative on the basis of you know, a loss, you know, one way or another, you know, I think that being exposed is a good thing if it leads you to play differently or play better. But you know, there's also a pocket of fans here who wonder how much of this can be changed during the season, given the personnel and given the philosophy that's going to dominate, you know, Georgia's efforts the rest of the way.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
You did bring up the play calling, which, as you mentioned, you're very correct, a hot-button topic there. But it almost seems, and I hate to maybe even use the word, but almost on a stubborn side of whether it's Kirby Smart or James Coley just wanting to pound the rock. And a conversation you had on your show this week I enjoyed is, where is that Georgia speed? Where are the players breaking away from other people? Is a philosophy change needed, or does Georgia just need to, you know, find a little bit more identity in what it wants to do?
Well, I think the good news is they can make a couple small changes that I think could have a big impact. You know, I do think that Georgia rotates just too many receivers into the game right now. Of the guys that Georgia's playing, they aren't all equally effective. There are guys like George Pickens and Demetrius Robertson and Lawrence Cager when he's healthy who are far more effective than some of the other guys that Georgia played, including receivers that contributed to turnovers on Saturday. I think with Dominic Blaylock, in the limited amount of time we've seen him targeted, has for the most part made good on those targets. So for me, if Georgia finds a way to play those receivers when it matters a little bit more and play some other guys a little bit less, I do think that, you know, that's the kind of change that can benefit the offense, especially in the case of Robertson, because Robertson of all those guys is the fastest. Now, they targeted Robertson 9 times on Saturday, so you certainly can't say they weren't trying to get him involved, but maybe the way in which some offensive schemes try to, you know, are designed to work a receiver open, you see this a lot in the NFL with all the movement and the kind of, you know, crossing pattern type things you see go on, you know, there. You know, maybe it's the kinds of plays they run for Robertson to take more advantage of his speed, which is necessary. And the other thing I would add to this is, while most of what's going to, you know, be discussed coming up in the South Carolina game is centered around the passing game because Fromm threw 3 picks, and because, you know, other than that, it wasn't particularly effective. The other thing, and I've written about this and I've talked about this, the other thing that's completely absent from the Georgia offense right now, or I shouldn't say completely absent, but far more absent than it was a year ago, are those long runs, running plays 20 or more yards. Georgia was tied for 4th in the country last year in rushing plays of 20 or more yards. To the halfway mark of this season, they're barely in the top 40. They're, you know, I think they had 10 on the year, whereas last year for the full season they had 37. So, you know, you're talking about a Georgia offense that is not even executing its bread and butter quite as well as it used to.
Yeah, in fact, when Coach Muschamp walked into the post-game press conference and he got the stat sheet handed to him, and it was kind of the first thing he looked at, and you could tell he was pleasantly surprised that Georgia's long run was from Swift of 14 yards. I think Zamir had a 12-yarder, but you could just kind of see the look on his face. He was very, very, you know, happy with that. That's a good point you bring up, too, that, you know, how much do we want to blame this lack of explosive plays where maybe it just has to hit the reality because of injuries and just players that maybe didn't come back that probably should have, that's just something Georgia's going to have to work harder to overcome.
Yeah, or maybe be a little bit more clever in how you design them. And the good news is Georgia's defense right now is playing well enough, at least in terms of the stingy part of this, you know, limiting yards, limiting points, that you know, Georgia doesn't have to be Oklahoma's offense to be in contention for the national championship. Now, you have to have a good offense because it's been a while since we've seen, you know, a true defensive-minded team win a national championship. But as long as Georgia's defense, even if they're not quite sacking the quarterback as well as some fans hope they would, and probably Kirby Smart hope they would, given all the talk that's been about havoc plays, they are limiting yards, they are limiting points. That's been a pretty consistent theme for Georgia, you know, for full games this year, especially when it comes to some rushing yards and things like that. You know, you don't have to be the most explosive offense in college football to get back into championship contention. You just have to be explosive enough. And I think for Georgia, that is still a realistic goal, reasonable goal, even if right now there's a lot of just disappointment about the way the offense is played.
Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
Brandon, call me naive, call me a homer. I own both of those if I have to own the labels. But the loss itself, I'm convinced if that game was played 100 times that Georgia wins 97 of them. Unfortunately, it didn't go that way. We have an L in the column. That being said, the optimism toward this team going into Kentucky, then a bye week, then that trip down to Jacksonville, I certainly believe in my mind that Georgia can rebound. But what does this do for maybe the general consensus fan base, the optimism that we can find our way back into the playoff conversation?
I think it's all about time. I think that if you talk to Georgia fans on Sunday, and I did hear from a lot of them, you know, at that point in time, it was sky falling, true doom and gloom, and seemingly with good reason based on the game time. We're at, what, Wednesday now?
Mm-hmm.
I think the overall mood, if you can take the temperature of the, you know, so-called Dog Nation as it exists right now, I think it's a little bit better spirits than it is than it was on Sunday. However, I mean, I think the one thing, though, there's going to be a significant pocket of people who are going to say is, while the South Carolina loss can be shaken off and while you can overcome that and improve that, the South Carolina loss is also similar to portions of the Tennessee game, portions of the Notre Dame game, portions of the Vanderbilt game, portions of the game where Georgia wasn't quite asserting itself as well as it could. Offensively, the second half versus Vanderbilt, first half versus Notre Dame, a little bit of a slow start defensively against Tennessee where there are a lot of Georgia fans who don't feel like they've seen four quarters from their team as, you know, team yet. And the South Carolina game, you know, for them wasn't so much of a, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this happened, as it was, see, I told you something wasn't quite right for this team. You can go to our Dog Nation forum and see that. I'm sure you have all had callers to your, you know, shows this week who said that, you know, Twitter messages who have said that. So while, you know, there's a certain pocket of people who are going to be, you know, saying, well, this is a shocking loss, but things are likely to get better, there is a portion of the fan base right now that says, I kind of knew something wasn't quite right based on what we've seen for extended segments of the previous game.
All right, this question is a two-parter. The first one is, what was your confidence level that Georgia was going to beat Florida before the season started? And what is your confidence level now that Georgia
right,
will beat Florida?
I won't even say on a scale of 1 to 10. Before the season started, on a scale of 100, my confidence level that Georgia would beat Florida was probably somewhere around 93, 94, 95. There may have been a 5% chance in my mind that Florida could have beaten Georgia, but it was not much more than that. It certainly wasn't a 10 or a 20% chance. And frankly, I didn't think that Georgia would play a close game in the SEC East all year long. So, do I still believe that Georgia should be favored versus Florida? I do. Do I still think Georgia will probably win that game? Yes, I do. Am I less confident now than I was, speaking both as an analyst to the extent that I can be one and a fan, which I obviously am? I am probably a little bit less confident. Now it's more like a, you know, an 8 out of 10 situation for me, a 4 out of 5 situation. I still think Georgia's a better team. I think the point spread is going to reflect that. I don't think that the loss to South Carolina changes the ceiling for Georgia very much. We know what their top-end performance can and probably will look like again at some point this season. But the floor is a lot lower. The basement's a lot lower. The possibility of losing to Florida and not winning the SEC East at least has to be considered now when you see Georgia play as bad as it did against South Carolina. But one way or another, I don't believe there'll be any distractions from Georgia going to that game against Florida. I think they'll play with an edge there that day. There were plenty of reasons last year to think that Florida might beat Georgia too, just given how bad Georgia looked against LSU, and Georgia had a laser focus that day against the Gators and really pulled away in the second half. So if my life depended on it, I'm still betting on Georgia to win this game against Florida, and I'm going to do so with some confidence. But admittedly, and y'all have heard me say it over and over again, admittedly, I'm a little less confident now than I was when the season began. And I think we've entered new facts into evidence. And once you do that, you know, I think you're forced to change your opinion at that point in time.
Hey, I like that answer because I'm in 100% agreement with
you. Well, you mentioned earlier the Georgia defense. Georgia defense did not lose that game on Saturday. And I've watched enough Florida, as you have too, B.A., to know that offense is not their strong point right now. LSU's defense is sketchy, and they were having some success late in that game really stopping Florida. So could the cocktail party come down to 21, maybe 24 points wins that game?
Well, let me say this. I'll say a compliment to Dan Mullen, which I don't say very much. he's gotten more out of Kyle Trask than I thought was possible.
Absolutely.
I mean, I say it half kidding, half serious all the time. Trask wasn't even a starter in high school. So, you know, the idea that he's played even as well as he has is probably a little bit of a testament to Dan Mullen and probably shows you how truly limited Felipe Franks really was if they're getting this much out of Trask. Now, Trask is not playing at an all-world SEC level, but he's at least competent, so you credit Mullen with that. Florida also handled the situation at LSU better than Georgia did a year ago.
Yeah.
But, as you said before, you know, maybe a defensive side battle between Georgia and Florida. The truth is, Florida's defense got torched against LSU on Saturday. Now, LSU has maybe the best offense in the entire country right now. But, you know, for the people who want to act like that Florida has really proven something, that it's far superior to Georgia through the kind of the halfway point of the regular season, be really careful about that, because they couldn't even hardly get LSU to a third down on Saturday. So this idea that Florida feels better about itself than Georgia does because Georgia lost to a bad team and Florida lost to a good team, boy, take a deeper look at some of those stats, and that Florida defense is supposed to be, you know, so damn. That really was, given the fact that Joe Burrow was marching him down the field like a Mardi Gras parade.
Yeah, they held LSU to 25% on third down. The only thing was, it was just four times. LSU ran four third down plays the entire game, which means they were getting good yardage on first and second down. So that's
exactly
a good stat there. It's crazy. It really is. All right, Brandon, good stuff as always. We do appreciate it. And like I said, apologies last couple of weeks. Glad to hear. We'll be looking forward to the noon hour today. What do you got cooking?
We'll be certainly turning the page here and talking about all the stuff we were just mentioning, how Georgia gets better moving towards the weekend. I think a lot of Dog fans are excited about being under the lights at Sanford Stadium on Saturday, and we'll do our part to kind of get ready for all of that.
All right, my man. Thanks. We'll see you Saturday.
Thanks, B.A.
All right, sounds good.
Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily, noon to 1, right here on The Ref.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.